Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about FLCL, or Fooly Cooly, or Pretty Curry, depending on your preferred. But before that, we actually did talk a little bit about the show, and we talked about who the original licensor for it was, and how this show made you feel like you had ADHD.
No, I do have ADHD.
I'm saying, like, in general, this show makes you feel that way.
I was going to say, this show is what ADHD looks like.
Yeah. If you want to catch a part of that water conversation, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month will get you there. And we're actually talking about coming out with some patron-exclusive episodes as well. So if you want to catch those patron-only episodes, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Now, this week's choice, which was done by yours truly, is a little bit unusual. It's a OVA series, and it aired from April 2000 to March 2001. That's right. Took a year to release all six episodes. The studios for it are GenXM Production IG. It's an original work, and the genres are action, avant-garde, comedy, sci-fi, mecha, parody, psychological as well. And honestly, and I know you were asking this beforehand, FLCL or Fooly Cooly or Freddy Curdy means nothing. Like, the staff picked the two words, they made them up, they said it sounded English and sounded cool, and so that's what they ran with. So,
oh dear Lord. Sidebar real quick, you're gonna love this. I didn't know that, obviously, because I didn't read the same things you are. There's a song that was made super popular a few years ago, maybe 20 years ago, specifically because it sounded American. It has no words, it has no coherent phrases. However, it actually, you can look it up on YouTube. It's there. This dude made a couple recorded albums specifically because no one knew English. So the fact that they're like, yeah, it sounds American, so we'll go with it. It's ironic considering what I had just found out earlier this week.
Well, there you go. I mean, like, hey, it works, right?
Gangnam Style. It was popular, but no one knew what it meant. No one knew what the words were.
Hey, it works, though. It works. So the interesting thing about this, and you have to kind of remember this too when you're actually watching the show, is when you're watching it, and I said this in the pre-show, when you're watching it, you have to remember that there really doesn't have to be any real cohesion for it, because it originally came out over the course of a year. So it's not like you're watching it week one, week two, week three, week four, where you have to have some kind of semblance, some coherency to it. It's like a month or so later, and then you watch the next episode, and like a couple months later you watch the next one, and you do that over the course of time.
Yeah, it reminds me of something along the lines of a trajectory rather than a straight run, if that makes sense. Like, yeah, if you got point A and point B, you have your beginning and you have your destination, you don't really have too much going on in the middle, or you don't have a straight line in the middle. And what I found kind of interesting is you'll notice minor details that show time has passed since the two episodes showed up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the how the drawings are, the lines are, how crisp it is, everything.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. But what is great is they do reference some things in between each episode, or they reference back to something that happened. So, for example, in episode one, they did this like manga style animation, literally, and they referenced that later on in the series, referencing back saying, hey, we can't do the same thing again because everyone made an outcry and talked trash and said we were just lazy doing this and everything like that. And it was great. I'm glad that they actually referenced it. I'm glad that even though it had been months, literally later, they referenced it again, saying, hey, we can't do the same thing.
Yeah, it was honestly one of the funniest portions, and the self-awareness, self-referencing, I loved every second of it. So there was a few different anime styles changes up that really got me, I'm going to say, more interested than anything else, because one of the few things that they got going on is there's nothing the same. Nothing stays stagnant. Mm-hmm. The thing you were wrenching right there where they're like, they thought it was lazy. The show actually turns into manga pages, and it's especially when they're explaining what Fooly Cooly is.
Or trying to.
And it's frustrating because it doesn't, there's no consistent thing of what Fooly Cooly is other than Fooly Cooly is Fooly Cooly. It explains itself by being itself. And if you don't know, then you're not going to know. But if you already know, then you always will know. It's one of those conundrums where you're like, I want to be in the know, but at the same time, like, it feels like the definition's evolving. Because originally you think Fooly Cooly is about sex, and then it's not. And then it could be, and then it's not. And the power scaling and the power scheme makes no sense. Did you watch till the end, or did you skip after the ending credits?
No, I watched till the end.
So in there, they always reference the next episode being something different than this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching the ending. The ending, actually, the ending style of the show, the credits, it's really cool. It goes from animation to manga to back to animation to real life. And it was really awesome because you actually get to see the real life locations of what these scenes or what these locations they're referring to are modeled after.
Yeah, which it's very widely known that the inspiration a lot of them actually use are from real locations. And you can see that in a lot of shows, a lot of movies where it's like that as well. So that's interesting, though, that they decided to actually show it in the actual.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. It was a pleasant surprise for me.
The other thing that I really found enjoyable was the actual music that they used for the ending. I thought that was great. It was very tastefully done. It was done by the band The Pillows. And what's interesting is for the episodes 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6, they were all different songs. 2 and 3 was the only one where the music was the same. Same intro or opening.
I don't think I picked that part up. That's really cool. I didn't.
I mean, like, over a couple of months, I mean, like, I guess you could, it'd be easily done. You could easily do it. Like, different and not be worried about it.
Maybe it was better for budgeting, because we were talking about it, and this is one of the few series that's actually completed by this the studio.
Yes. Or not the studio, the licensor. The original licensor for this was SyncPoint, and FLCL was the only English dub or English translation that they actually ever completed. They are actually known for incomplete works.
Could you imagine, like, that's your legacy? Like, what do you do for a living? I don't, actually.
Yeah. Right? You're homeless?
No, I just don't give people what they want. That's basically it.
Yeah. So, what's also interesting is they had mangas or rather light novels kind of like spin off at around the same time that this was coming out. And finish up around the same time. Yeah, finish up around the same time as the show.
So do you think it's possible they were simulcasting the manga to the show, or
probably?
That's a unique business strategy.
They were probably using the anime as inspiration for the manga. So they probably based episode 1 off the manga, and then they kind of took a little further, and then they were like, hey, you know what, let's just see what you go, and then they were basing the manga off of that.
You know, it would make complete sense if this was instead of it being an actual show that they were trying to do, it would have been very similar to a portfolio that some people have, you know, where they're like, look at what I can do. I've done this, I've done that, I've done this, I've done that. Well, here they can do, we've done South Park animation, we've done stock animation, we've done imagery, we've done realism, it's got it all.
Yeah, it does. And that's the really cool thing is they reference or poke fun or include animation, like you said, from South Park even in the series, which is really tastefully and well done. It's not done in poor taste. It's done in such a way that it makes it enjoyable.
It doesn't feel like theft.
Yes.
If that makes, yeah, that makes sense. It doesn't feel like theft. Whereas you've seen other shows where you're like, that is like, it's a copy paste. They might've changed the hair color.
It's a straight ripoff. Yeah. But
I like this one. Yeah. I like the way they did it. It felt like home. Hmm. No, it felt like it was meant to give you that sporadicness. It felt like it was meant to keep you on edge, because what you know in episode one completely flips on episode 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then in episode 6, they're like, oh, this is the climax. We got to wrap everything up. We got to do this. We got to do that. And like the powers don't really make too much sense. And why is this character, this main character, the one versus others? And they use, for lack of a better word, they use dick jokes everywhere. And it's hilarious. Usually, you know, one or two dick jokes, you're like, all right, fine. They kept pulling them out of their hat. And it was, I would say, 90% a hit.
Well, it's not just those. They referenced or joked about a lot of other stuff. But what's also good is at times when it needed to be a little bit serious, they were able to pull it off where it wasn't too serious either. It was,
yeah,
I want to say it was like married in there perfectly, so that way it wasn't that bad. It was actually done really, really well, and I honestly can't complain about it and how they were able to pull it off.
The story I have complaints about, but the animation style and what the licensor was able to do was impressive.
Yeah, well, I mean, like with translation, yeah, but the producers, the studio is great, and I mean, for it being a dual studio, I can't complain. Starchild Records and Gansis for the producers for it. I mean, what's interesting is
I've never heard of those guys.
Starchild for the producers. Yeah. Well, you have, because we've reviewed Golden Time.
This is very different than Golden Time, that's for sure.
It is very different from Golden Time. But Gannix, they've done Neon Genesis Evangelion. They've done Gurren Lagann.
Classics, okay.
So you're acquainted with them.
All right. I'm starting to notice a lot of the ones we review. Like, I would say, how many episodes are we doing this now? What?
This is 150,
something like that?
144.
144. I was close. So let's round up to 150. Out of those 150.
Why round up? It's
Because I'm bad at math and round numbers help me.
Well, hey, this is an even number, sir, so.
Okay. So how many different studios do you think we've seen? 20, maybe?
Yeah, I would say probably about 20.
Okay. So I was going to say you can divide 150 by 2 and come up with 75 unique chapters or unique series that don't overlap. But it's awesome. One out of every three at the worst are people we know. One out of every three are coming from people we've already reviewed, like networks we know we already like.
Mm-hmm.
So how do people, we were talking about earlier, how does a series make money if it doesn't complete anything? How it seems like, how would you get into that, not tight-knit area, but how would you get into that field as a newer company? You know, you'd almost have to take a loss very similar to this and make a kind of portfolio-esque anime like this is.
Yeah, well,
I realize it's completely sidetracked from what the anime we're talking about is, but I'm impressed and shocked at the same time at how little diversity there is in the, I guess, field.
Well, I mean, it's not that there's little diversity. It's that there's
You've used a random generator a lot, and we've only come up with maybe 20. And if we were to break that down, Amniplex, I've never had an Amniplex for, that upset me.
For a producer?
Yeah.
Well, but, I mean,
is Amniplex a producer?
Amniplex is a producer, not the studio.
Oh, okay.
Gannix and Production IG are studios. Starchild Records and Gansis are producers.
Okay. Well, apparently it's bigger than I thought, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But it makes a little bit more sense that there's more, but I always thought that the producer had its own studio and stuff like that.
No. Not necessarily.
Hmm. Okay. But I was thinking maybe for someone who was just trying to start up a company that was trying to get their feet wet to do some of the less desirable or less well-known series. And it blew up. FLCL, Fooly Cooly, is, for lack of a better term, a cult classic in the sense for anime watchers.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you disagree?
I mean, no, it's a cult classic, that's for sure. It's one that I've actually enjoyed over the years. I don't know if they blew up or anything like that because of this, though. I mean,
I don't think it was because of this, but it's a staple. Like, it shows a wide range of what you can do.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's split up across two studios.
Yeah. And then it was popular enough that they got 3 seasons out of it. Like, I don't know about you, but
the third season didn't actually come into existence until
this year, probably.
No, it's came out in 2017, I want to say.
Now that's
2018.
That's almost as long of a time from season 1 to season 3 as Overlord, which I'm still waiting for, but either way.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, neither here nor there. I hope it comes back soon. That was a damn good show. A damn good series. I apologize. I just went off on a tangent again.
Yeah.
Very similar to how this show does.
Well, you know, at least this show, though, stays the course and maintains some kind of storyline. You just like to go off on the rails, and there we are, somewhere else, completely different. Do we know what you're saying? No, not really. We're just, all right, that's cool. Yeah,
it's a good ride. It's a good ride. Then we just helicopter back to where we're supposed to go to.
Sure, sure. Nah, I'm just joshing you.
No.
Sometimes.
You're only sometimes joshing me, nice.
No, it's something that I feel like the show actually has done, though. They kind of stay the course, even though it takes so long for it to go in between each episode. They did still pull it off where it was a cohesive story still. Granted, it was kind of all over the place, but the premise, the baseline for it was still there.
Well, I got a question.
Yes.
And I'm genuinely curious if you can answer this, because I thought I knew. And I don't know. There's a huge theme running throughout the series of, can I trust them? Are they telling me the truth? That chick, is she an alien?
Yes.
And the dude with the fake eyebrows, also an alien?
No.
Or was that her past?
That was the past human that she used. That was obviously not as much of a man as a 12-year-old, obviously.
Again, dick jokes, but I don't know, like, the what's up with the guitars? Like, why are there guitars everywhere? And why do you got to get hit in the head and have apparently no brain?
Well, all I know is that they also have a motor that you use a pull cord to get it running. It's before
it's
you
gas
get
powered. It's so, a gas powered guitar. Of course, those things exist.
Yeah, well, you know, same thing with a flying Vespa. But, you know, hey. Whatever, I get hit by a vehicle all the time, at least once a week, and I'm okay. I just get up and walk away.
Yeah, walk it off. Start singing Taylor stuff, just shake it off, you know?
Yeah.
Nah, it's just, and they put so much emphasis on his brother who's in America as a baseball player, and then nothing.
Well, you know that his brother's in there, and the only reason why they put emphasis on it is because of Mamimi. She used to be his girlfriend and she loved him, but obviously they haven't been in contact, and the only thing that you can assume is from what Haruko found in his room, which is a picture of our main pro tag's brother with some blonde chick in America.
Why are they on blonde? We got redhead and brunettes too,
so
I guess blonde hair, blue eyes is just American.
Yep. Well, Mamimi is a redhead in the series, and they also do have blonde in the series as well. So along with pink and brown and black hair and purple hair and everything else. But beside the point.
Fair. I mean, it makes sense, but at the same time, it's weird because the brother left, obviously, and I guess you could say that left her behind, and now she's all over him, and every time she has these urges, she like puts love bites on his neck or something, and she's trying to make him into something he's not, which is very evident in the last episode. She's just trying to find a replacement because she's dealing with rejection. What I found kind of cool is every episode seemed to have a kind of not moral story or moral lesson, but they had some pretty renowned and pretty like solid thoughts and phrases like, you're not going to hit anything if you don't swing.
Yeah.
Like that, granted, in the context of the show, it's basically, you know, sack up, you got to get it done. However, in real life, there's another saying, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And in this one, in order to, you know, make a connection, you got to try. In order to start something, you have to make the initial effort. Or in order to finish something, you have to start it, basically. And like, it's pretty awesome. Like, if you look at it like that, and every episode's got these minor gems that, I don't know, your older brother should teach you. Or, you know, it made me feel like this was every lesson this kid learned was a lesson you would typically learn from an older brother.
Yeah.
Or your dad.
Well, I mean, so speaking of which, this is one of the few anime where you actually see the parent.
No joke. You never see the mom. You see the dad and the grandpa.
Yeah. But you can only assume like that the mother died. Is dead. Because, you know, I mean, he's obviously... He, you know, the father is trying to get with
everyone, every woman.
So just about. So,
yeah, everyone. Now, the thing that gets me, this dad is just a whore, like around town. Like you just is no shame to him. Oh, my goodness, dude. Perhaps fully coolie means something different to everybody else, because when the dad says fully coolie, he's talking about sex. Obviously, when the grandpa's talking about fooly cooly, he's talking about needing bread or a massage. When the kid talks about fooly cooly, it's something completely different too. It's a stand-in for something else. And on that note, a stand-in for something. Why the heck in the last episode did the dad look like he had two complete sets of genitalia?
Couldn't tell you, but that's why I said, you know, at the beginning of this, in case you forgot.
Oh, of course I did.
For Fooly Cooly?
Uh-huh.
And what it means?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it means nothing.
You say that, but it means something to someone else.
It means something to you, Rick.
Okay.
It means something to you. To me, it means it's the episode of an anime. That's what it means to me.
What I'm thinking it means is, you know how you got the thingamajig and the who's-em-a-what-it?
Sure.
It's just a random thing that I'm pointing at. Get that thingamajig, that thing, who's him or what it, it's a descriptive word that means whatever you need it to mean, you know?
Yeah, I would stare at you blank and go, why don't you use real words?
Because you forget the words. One of the tools I use is called a bell wrench. I know that now because I'm not in the field working. When I'm in the field working, I'm like, you know that metal bar that is very useful? It's somewhere on the vehicle. I need it. And it happens so often, people have just known what I'm talking about. So the who's him what it, the thingamajig, that the who's him what.
I know what you're talking about. I genuinely do. I would just look at you and tell you, use your big boy words, Rick. Use actual language, all right? You know, that thingamajiggy, the jinga right there, that little jinga. Yeah. Whoa. Well, for you, what is a chinga? A chingadera. All right. What is the chingadera?
Uh-huh. All right. The last time someone said that to me, I had him looking for a bag of steam for a few hours. And then I needed a pipe stretcher.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
So that being said, while you're sitting there with your makeup words trying to figure out what you can do to try and justify Fooly Cooly for you to make you feel better about it, here on Earth, it means nothing. It just, people thought it sounded cool.
It sounded American. I like it. But I mean, I think, one last thing. I'm not going to say final thing, but one point of contention I got an issue with. That was an iron, wasn't it? The big factory that everyone works at that has doors or windows.
Yeah,
it was an iron.
Yeah. Yeah. They even said that in the series. It's looks like an iron and you have a hand, and they even referenced it steaming out. Smoothing out the wrinkles of the universe. So everyone has a flat brain or something like that, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. No, like they knew exactly what it was. They didn't make any attempt to hide it. They called it out. They said, I think it was even in episode one, they said, it looks like an iron, and white smoke that comes out of it every day looks like steam.
Okay.
So.
I must have missed that, because they're talking about it later, and they're like, the steam will never stop, and I see a hand next to it. I'm like, they're trying to iron something. What are they trying to iron? And then at the very end, the dude.
Hey, yeah. You. They're trying to iron you.
Yeah. Make you. Maybe it's a way to make people conform to one ideology.
Probably.
Well, not just people, but the entire world, the universe.
Usually, yeah.
So, yeah. But, so that's kind of my last little thing there. What do you got for a rating, sir?
I don't know, sir. As tradition allows, on a scale of up to 10, how would you rate it?
I was going to follow you because I don't really know. Like, I'm hovering between like a 4 and an 8 because I can't tell if it's awesome or crap.
All right, sir. How about this? All right. Fooly Cooly, what do you think? First thing that popped in your head.
Bullshit.
So 4.
Probably. Nah. So I'd want to show someone else just so they can understand what ADHD feels like. So I'll give it a 5.
Okay.
It's nothing special to me. It's a nice time filler. It's only 6 episodes, so it's very easily consumable. It's a nice little ride for what it is, but I feel like, per our standards, it is lacking. Bookends just aren't there, and it doesn't have a cohesive story.
Well, arguably, I would say, at least for this, it doesn't need a bookend.
Yeah, if I gotta wait a year and a half for the whole thing to come out.
Well, it's not a year and a half for the whole thing to come out. You only had to wait a year for it to come out. So let's tone back the bit here, sir.
It's only 6 months. Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
So what about you?
For me, I'm giving this 8, actually, because I enjoyed it.
Really?
I love it. I got fond memories of being up until 2 o'clock in the morning watching it and enjoying every second of it. Just like having fun with it. It is not a show that I actually have to worry about a real story for. It is just there. It's something to enjoy. And they, even the animators, the studios, producers, have fun with it.
Okay, I can see that. I mean, yeah, you don't take it seriously. And I guess I'm looking for a little more seriousness.
You're looking for meaning. I mean, come on. I told you what Fooly Cooly meant. And it's like, yeah, they just chose 2 words at random.
I'm going to laugh my butt off if we look this up on dictionary.com and there's like a definition for it. That said, I think it's my choice for next week, right?
Yes, actually it is.
I'm going to hope there's meaning in season 2 and I'll watch season 2.
All right. That sounds good to me.
Like I'm a completionist. I like finishing what I start, even if I don't like what the job is.
That's a lie. Sometimes you don't complete it. You just like, you know.
Tell people I completed it. That's kind of how we got to time traveling vampire hunters,
right? Time traveling granddaughter vampire hunters.
Yeah. I still stand by the fact that my synopsis was better than that show. God damn it.
Yeah, look, it was just somewhere in between episode 2 and 3. You just missed it. It's right there.
It's a blurb. If you miss it, I recommend going to watch it, then coming back and talking to me.
Exactly. All right. It's like, 10 seconds long. It's seriously, you can't miss it. It's right there.
Oh, I love it. It's right there. I love it.
All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like I gave it too much justice, or if Rick did not enough justice, let us know. Reach out to us, featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter, Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, shop.featuredanimepodcast.com if you want to buy some merchandise and help support the channel, or patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, and you can get access to some bonus content. And until next time, I'm Jack.
And with a massive case of ADHD-inducing shows, I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.